Welcome to the Boulder City Podcast, the only podcast dedicated to Nevada's most interesting and historic small town. I'm Roger Gross, the host of the podcast and a resident of Boulder City. On each episode, we'll present guests who will inform and entertain you about Boulder City, whether it's about history or current events in town. So thanks for joining us, and here's today's episode. Welcome to the Boulder City Podcast. We're here with Jill Lagan from the Boulder City Chamber of Commerce. Jill, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be a part of it.
So here we are in your new office, and what a great office this is. It used to be the, what was it, the State Visitor Center?
Yep, it still is. So right. Nevada State Welcome Center, and it was previously managed by the LVCVA, Visitor and Convention Authority. And when they made the decision to close all of the Southern Nevada Visitor Centers, and they were trying to reprogram some of those funds to go into the convention center, the new convention center. And so each of those locations, they had some options. This particular one is owned by NDOT, so Nevada Department of Transportation. And so we looked at, we started negotiating with them right away. We had looked at utilizing this for another purpose. But at the time, you know, everything happens for a reason. So we were in the middle of a transition anyways. And so we actually are down here now operating it. Our administrative offices are here, as well as the visitor center and the lobby out front. And it allows us to capture some unintended wonderful blessings that I had not even thought of. But when while we're down here, when people stop here, they're coming from the bridge or coming right across after going to the dam. And so they stop here in trying to find out a little bit more about the area. And we're able to send them into the historic district and into the business core that they may have missed or didn't even know existed. So before, we were kind of preaching to the choir. They were in the historic district, and we were telling them, oh yeah, go across the street. Oh, we already did. Oh, okay, well, how about, and so we're going down this list. Whereas down here, it's all brand new to them. They would not have possibly gone there. And so it allows us to really meet more of our mission and drive more tourists into town.
And your old office was kind of out of the way there. I mean, it wasn't like right in the center of town. I mean, it was kind of tucked away in the little area where the offices were?
It was. I will tell you that I actually found it to be a great little neighborhood right across from the hotel. That was initially, we had moved from out of the basement of the hotel into across the street. And so once we saw some light, it was a very positive thing. And then being a partner with the brew pub, that as they grew and as they actually started using more and more of the patio, it was a good thing because it was a good match for both of us. A lot of people would come in and get information on the chamber. So it was positive. And we loved it. We enjoyed it. Very grateful for Donna Draney and her philanthropic efforts to try to help us, and her husband Bob initially, but then Darren at the end. We were very glad to have all of their generosity because it really allowed us to excel and get to the place that we are now so that we could afford to be here.
So why don't you give us a little background of your life in Boulder City. You're a native, right?
I am.
Okay.
So I feel like one of those stories where back in the olden days. My family moved here in 47. My granddaddy came as one of the original people who were working on, as they were trying to do some of the transitions with the lake. He was the original hard hat diver on Lake Mead. And in fact, our family still has that hard hat. And so we very much enjoyed having some initial history. Then my my maternal grandfather came with the Bureau of Mines. And so a lot of family history there. And I love being tied. I love having those roots. I hear some of the other families that maybe are military and they're constantly in flux and in transition. And it's hard for me to really understand what they go through because I've only known the stability of being in one location. Very grateful for that, and very grateful that family made sure that we were able to continue living in this location. So I have a lot of ties to Boulder City. I have a lot of passion for Boulder City. My girls obviously went to school here as well. So three generations, fourth generation by the time the girls were, or if they ever come back, my youngest daughter still lives here. My husband is getting ready to retire from Metro, and so we're looking at what that next phase looks like with Lexi headed to the Olympics in July and what comes next. You know, that's kind of been the mark. We just had to stay working until she got to the Olympics. And so trying to find out what happens next.
Yeah, absolutely. So what got you involved with the chamber?
Ironically, I was teaching an exercise class, mm-hmm. and Miss Jean Segerbloom, I'm sure you've heard that name.
Heard
so Tick's
name,
mom, yeah. So Tick and Robin's mom. Okay. So Robin was my mom's best friend growing up. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so Jean Segerbloom was in my exercise class, and she had mentioned that the chamber was looking for somebody who understood business and maybe mm-hmm. knew how to write grants.
Right.
She had known that at the time I had a female-owned business and mm-hmm. had a SBA female number, minority-owned business number, and had been very familiar with having to go through that process, very cumbersome with SBA,
sure,
but
right.
Very fruitful in the end if you're able to make it happen. And so she just knew that I had some of that experience as an entrepreneur. By the time I started here at the chamber, I had already owned 6 businesses. So she just had encouraged me to apply. I happened to be going out of town when she asked. And mm-hmm. so I called over, and Connie Mancellis was the interim executive director at mm-hmm. the time. And so she made arrangements for me to do an interview, and the rest is history.
Okay. So how long ago was that?
20 years.
20 years then. Okay.
Yeah.
So you've seen a lot of changes in Boulder City's tourism image. What was it like when you first started at the chamber, and how has that evolved?
So I'm not sure that the tourism side of it was even really most of the initial from the chamber side of it,
sure, right.
as much of the real focus. I think they really wanted to make sure that those businesses were supported. And so you saw a lot of plans and programs that boards and the previous CEO, Ms. Beth Walker, mm-hmm. she was phenomenal. They all had great programs in place to support the businesses. I don't know that there was a huge tourism focus, or at least it wasn't documented.
Right.
So as I learned more, you couldn't just count on the dam and the people
right.
coming here from the dam.
Sure.
A lot of times they would just drive through, and mm-hmm. so some of those were passersby. They didn't actually stop in and spend dollars here or time here.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't require them to spend dollars here. Sometimes they just need to come, spend time, fall in love with it, learn our story.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come back.
Right.
They'll become that repeat customer. So really kind of identifying that we wanted to go in that direction, identifying within a couple of years that being in the basement of the hotel was not really a viable location for a business entity that should be going after those
sure,
tourist dollars.
Right, right.
And so that really began the transition. It kind of was an enlightenment, you know, in all sorts of aspects, physically with the location, but also it started opening the eyes to the future boards at that time of what we needed to do, the mm-hmm. direction we needed to go, and the emphasis we needed to put on tourism.
Sure, sure. So one of the big questions we had just a few years ago was what was going to be the impact of I-11 when that hit. I mean, you know, the good news is, you know, people are no longer driving through town, but the bad news is people are no longer driving through town. So, you know, we didn't know the impact. So what in your view, what has been the impact of I-11 so far?
So, you know, we didn't know what we didn't know.
Right.
Right. And I would... I have to now admit that I publicly made the statement that when I-11 opened, it was the day I'd retire.
Yeah.
And because I just felt like at that time, mm-hmm. my job would be way too hard. I
right.
would not be able to do my job properly or feel like we could really help those businesses. I was very concerned.
Right.
I have to say that was a bit of a myopic mm-hmm. Look at what we really should have been doing. And so as we got closer, you know, we had spent a lot of time preparing for that.
Sure.
The Tourism Commission was created 4 years prior in specifically to advertise the name Boulder City and create the brand so that we were being proactive prior to mm-hmm. I-11 actually opening.
Right.
And in fact, at that point in time, the governor was still talking about potentially having a toll road or a public-private partnership of mm-hmm. some sort. So that was all those options were still on the table. All long before the actual I-11 date was set
right.
for construction. And so looking back, I wish I had been a little bit more open in my thought process, but there was just so much doom and gloom, and you're going to be mm-hmm. a ghost town, and it's going to be like Cars, and I was really concerned. However...
That's not unusual, though. You know, the usual thing that happens when a interstate bypasses the center of a town is the center of the town dies. And you know, I've seen it. I'm from the East Coast. I've seen it in Virginia all the time. The interstates go past and everybody leaves town. And of course, all the big stores are located out by the interstate. So you know, the stores within the. But that didn't happen here. What do you think that didn't happen here?
because of Boulder City and the businesses and the strength that they all have as entrepreneurs to make sure that they were successful. Mm-hmm. Everybody really pulled together. You know, we saw it not only with COVID here recently, right. but we really saw it back in 2008 with the financial crisis, but even more so when I-11 opened. That year before, mm-hmm. I really noted how many business owners said, you know what, we're going to be fine. This yeah. is going to be good. We're going to pull together. We're going to create the destination that we always wanted to be. This is going to allow people to come. And I really had not subscribed enough to it until as we got in the middle of it. And then all of a sudden, I had such total buy-in. And we were so driven to mm-hmm. make sure that the day that opened, it was a positive thing for us. And so it changed my mindset, really, mm-hmm. that I would say that last probably 10 to 12 months really changed my mindset. And then I wasn't leaving for nothing because I really wanted to see us make it. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to be there to be supportive of those businesses. And sure. so that changed the way I was thinking. It changed the way we started looking at making sure we were advertising to a larger, a broad net that mm-hmm. we were casting so that we were able to create those repeat customers and make sure that the businesses felt like they were ready and dressed up for the dance to be able to welcome those repeat customers just from Vegas. Mm-hmm. So maybe instead of worrying about bringing as much international traffic and spending our dollars on the international market, our dollars became a little bit closer to home. Dollars spent mm-hmm. were closer to home so that we went after that repeat customer in Vegas that could come out not only on a weeknight to have dinner, but then come back out on the weekend to go sure. to the barbecue challenge or whatever special event mm-hmm. happened to be coming up. And so that mindset was a little bit of a mind trip for us, but we were able to make that transition. We've had wonderful, strong boards of directors that really wanted to make sure that they also saw that come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And then I really, back to your original question, I really put it into the strength and the character of those business owners. Mm-hmm. Boulder City said, nope, and we're not going to be taken down. We want right. to be stronger. We will come together. And a lot of them have learned in many cases, you know, one antique dealer will recommend another antique dealer.
Right.
And yes, that's their direct competition, but it's that spirit of cooperativism. You know, sure. I mean,
right.
they're
right.
they're cooperative with each other, even mm-hmm. if there is competition, cooperativism right. or cooperation. Or whatever that mm-hmm. word should be. But I really found a lot of our business owners have come together and they will work with, you know, maybe it's a sole competitor, but mm-hmm. they are absolutely sending people back and forth. Mm-hmm. Some
I
of those
that.
Are the
I see
plus.
That with the restaurants too.
Yes, know, absolutely.
They seem to feed off each other. You know, I know when Evans was open before it's now the Damn Bistro, The Dillinger had a thing at the bottom.
You
want
pasta,
to go over to Evans.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I love that. But, you know, we even saw that with business services.
Sure.
I know insurance agents that will say, no, you know, we don't supply that mm-hmm. In our block, but we definitely know that right down the street, so-and-so is right there, and they do provide that. So,
sure.
You know, I think that's part of the nature and part of the spirit of Boulder City, mm-hmm. and it makes us, that's one of the reasons that we're, it just makes us great.
Okay. So, you know, obviously people come to Boulder City because they're on the way to the dam. Mm-hmm. It's a great tourist attraction. Millions of people come to the dam every year. And, you know, how are we doing in capturing our share of those people that come to the dam?
I think that we're doing much better now that I-11 has opened mm-hmm. because the people who are passing through Boulder City really want to know what Boulder City is about. They
right.
either have already learned that we are the ones that, you know, the town that built, mm-hmm. built the Hoover Dam.
Right.
Who is the town? Why should we be there? So they're learning more about that. But we also have a lot more partnerships with the different tour groups that bring people here.
Mm-hmm.
We're now telling that story before they even leave the strip. They're learning about the community that they're going
right.
to that built the dam. Before they even leave the strip and they go out to jump on a helicopter, they're learning in the narration about the town that built Hoover Dam.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of those partnerships have built up. Those are positive. The people that are passing through are coming because they wanted to, not just because they had to drive through.
Sure.
Those are just a more qualified visitor. That's been more positive. I am wondering myself, how do we capture the ones that are still driving on the I-11.
Right.
We're looking at all forms of technology. If there's some way that we can jump into their GPS and
mm-hmm.
Make some kind of announcement, hey, you definitely want to
sure,
stop
right.
in Boulder City.
Yeah.
Get off at the next exit, please. You know, so we're looking at into some of those different features.
Mm-hmm.
And as they become more and more affordable,
right
now it's pretty spendy,
mm-hmm.
but as it becomes more and more affordable and there's options for us to be able to, as a nonprofit, to be able to capture some of that, we'll be getting into that arena as well. well. Okay. And I do know that that will have even more of an impact. May I say one more thing, too, that I really appreciate? So the different business owners that are down at the dam, mm-hmm. they get that, that Boulder City is the gateway to that community. Right. Much like the National Park Service, they get that Boulder City is the gateway mm-hmm. to that, to the to those different sites. And so we have great partnerships, not only with the Bureau of Reclamation, the businesses that are down there, Hoover Dam Visitor Services, and also with the lake. Those partnerships, those relationships, they're key to making sure that we are always on their radar and they know that they're always on ours.
Okay, great. So also Boulder City's very active in the adventure tourism category, certainly with Bootleg Canyon and Lake Mead close, a lot of hiking trails around here. How important is that to the marketing of Boulder City?
I would say that's key.
Yeah.
And I realize that many people appreciate and know Boulder City because mm-hmm. of its history. Those are wonderful individuals that we can capture. And then once they get here, we get to teach them also about the outdoor adventure.
Right.
How about the idea that you can experience history through some of these different, you go down Black Canyon and just understand the history of Black Canyon
sure,
and
right.
how that's important. So whether you're in a kayak or on a raft, you're also learning about the history. You understand what the nature behind the importance of the dam and the dam workers that helped build it. One of the narrators that works and one of the captains down at Black Canyon River Adventures, Kathleen Wood, mm-hmm. you should hear her narration. It is loaded yeah. with history because her dad was there. She's got mm-hmm. the history to show. And so she passes out a little, I think it's laminated, but mm-hmm. it's this little paper that has all these pictures and images. They're there for the adventure, but right. they are going to learn about the history. Mm-hmm. And if they come for the adventure, we want to make sure they know the history. If they come for the history, let us tell you about the adventure.
Right.
And so I really see that those two things are two key components. They play off of each other and they both should be used together.
Yeah, I think that's true as well. We also have another element of the history is the new railroad museum. I think that's really exciting, the plans that are happening there. And then you get the Rail Explorers out thing there that you go down in these little pedal cars and they drag you back on the train. I mean, that seems like that's a real possibility for expansion of tourism in Boulder City.
Absolutely. Have you done that yet?
I haven't done it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's on my bucket list.
Oh, please. And would you record it when you do it? Because you are just going to love it. And the comments that come out of people that do it live mm-hmm. for the first time,
right.
It really has been, it's testimonial, and it's a great way to promote it and help others to want to come out and participate. That particular location has so much potential to mm-hmm. not just be important for Boulder City, but that's a regional tourism project mm-hmm. that we really should have regional support and
sure.
focus on. And we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the city of Henderson, they get it. They
right.
get that this is important to their back door as well, because we are their backyard and where
yeah.
people come to
mm-hmm.
play. And so the cooperation that Mayor March has had in making sure that we can eventually get to be able to cross over with the Rail Explorers
right.
and the train
mm-hmm.
to be able to cross over and go onto the Henderson side
right.
to be able to sit there on that new overpass that thankfully I-11 created,
right?
Right? So some of the great benefits,
mm-hmm.
That particular location will be an amazing place to watch the sun go down over the valley.
Right.
Some of the different events that can take place, that's a great partnership. That bridge has now been able to bridge two cities that for many, many years were separated.
Sure, right.
And so there's some real positive nature to all of that. I also see that the emphasis that the state is realizing and the importance to that particular railroad, the history that's there,
mm-hmm.
the dedication to maintaining the archives and the history of the different units that are out there and on display now in a static display,
right.
but to be able to increase that and put them in an indoor display, it's really the most beneficial to the state. You know, that particular museum, because it's technically, it's a museum,
sure, right.
that particular museum has the highest number of visitorship of all museums in the state.
Wow.
It also has a train
mm-hmm.
has the highest number of ridership in all the trains in the state.
Mm.
When you carry those two stats,
right.
pretty important to make sure that we're putting some focus into it. The benefactor is Boulder City.
Yeah.
The benefactor is Boulder City businesses, but it also is really a huge score for all of Southern Nevada tourism, because it's just one more thing that you may come because you want to come to a casino, but during the day, if you do have family with you, what a great opportunity to find other experiences. So now when you leave Vegas, you're thinking, man, we had this great, well-rounded experience, and I can't wait to come back. Those casinos should be saying thank you to the outdoor operators, to the amazing outdoor opportunities that we have, and the open space that we have here in Boulder City.
Right. So the train is scheduled to go into Henderson at some point, correct?
Yes, we're very close.
Yeah.
There are just a few more boxes that need to be checked. Of course, you know, there's multiple entities that are involved.
Right.
So not only the state, the Federal Railroad Administration, and then also the city. The city of Henderson owns the tracks on the Henderson side.
Right.
And so they've got to make sure that they've got plans in place for the maintenance and that kind of thing.
Sure.
So they're doing their due diligence on their end. And then the state is as well. And then the bridge inspections, that's actually a little bit of the delay.
Right.
It's hard to find somebody that can do those inspections now for the state and actually on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the little bit of a delay.
So where's it going to go in Henderson?
Just to the other side. Okay. It'll just actually stop right before just the first crossing, road crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, we would love to see it finalize over behind the Fiesta.
Right.
So you know where that beautiful park is, just on the other side of the Henderson Spaghetti Bowl.
Right.
So right underneath there, what a perfect place to put a roundabout so that you know the train could actually make it spin.
Mm-hmm.
It could do a stop at the Fiesta, pick people up, drop people off. Again, at the back at Van Wagenen. So right there with all the new excitement that's happening in downtown Water Street area in Henderson.
Right.
Those two would be key. And then again, at the back of Railroad Pass, that's a potential and has been part of the discussion. I would love to see Joe DeSimone have that opportunity. And then back here in Boulder City.
Right.
So if you can imagine that kind of a tourism expansion, and then with the Boulder City Express now being able to pick you up at the new museum.
Mm-hmm.
So you've just ridden the train from Henderson.
Right.
You now are at the new museum. You've experienced and explored that. And now you jump on a shuttle, the Boulder City Express, that takes you down to the dam or brings you into the historic district. You now have a pretty expansive experience that will bring people back time and time again.
Sure. No question about that. Let's talk about the events. Obviously, Art in the Park is the big event. 100,000 people come to town for that every year, except last year, of course. You guys do the Spring Jamboree. That was such a great thing to see just a few weeks ago here, the first outdoor event since COVID hit. And it was wonderful to see everybody out there and getting together. How important are those events to the city?
They are the mini population explosions that happen on those weekends that many of our businesses count on.
Right.
So when you've got this little pop explosion and people are coming through, they're going through those businesses, they're enjoying Boulder City, they're grateful for those experiences, and then they go back home and tell their neighbors, their neighbor may come back out for a glass of wine with them the next weekend.
Right.
Very important for us to be able to share our message, but it's also very important to those different nonprofits that puts those events on. So whether it is Wurstfest that contributes to the grad night program to keep those kids safe, or it happens to be the barbecue challenge and it makes sure that they've got the funds that they need to do the mini grants through for all different kinds of programs throughout the year, or the hospital foundation that makes sure that the dollars go back into new equipment, new programs for the hospital. Those things are all extremely important. For Spring Jam, those dollars are specifically earmarked for advertising Boulder City. We go out and use those dollars for the certified folder brochure campaigns, for some of our online commercials and programs that we do online.
Right.
You know, all of those different things contribute to rolling money back into the community, keeping that economic engine running, but it also keeps our tourism dollars are utilized and keeping us viable and the business community and the business climate very positive.
Mm-hmm. And then the parades, the 4th of July parade and the Christmas parade have always been big events. People come from all over the valley for them. I'm hoping they'll be back in full force this year.
Yes, absolutely. Both of them are. That's our intent. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the Danbury committee just met this last week. We finalized plans. We will have the parade, the pancake breakfast. Right. The Rotary will still do the pancake breakfast in the morning at 7. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll have the parade. That is on Saturday, by the way, July 3rd. Because it falls on a Sunday, it's split up. So, and we have done that in the past. Mm-hmm. So Saturday, the parade, and then it will, unfortunately, will not be followed by the activities at Broadbent, because some of our planning happened pre-announcement that we didn't have to have all these restrictions. And so, those activities, we just didn't have enough time to plan for. So this year, we will not be having those activities. However, we will be doing everything over at Vets at beginning at 4 o'clock on Sunday the 4th, and then the fireworks go off at 9 o'clock.
Mm, okay.
And then as far as the Christmas parade, you absolutely will see the Christmas parade, and it is our intent to make sure that that is just a super wonderful celebration. We know that families really were disappointed and not able to participate in that. You know, it was amazing how many stories came of that we had people that would call from Vegas and say that, you know, for 50 years I've been coming to that and bringing my children and my grandchildren, and that's our family activity. Mm-hmm. And what do you mean you're not having it? And you know, talk about a burden.
Yeah.
I'm super sorry that I can't allow you to have your family tradition. I promise I wasn't doing that on purpose. So we're grateful that those traditions can go on. And you know, it's always an excellent opportunity for those businesses to be able to stay open and to have a little bit of that potential Christmas shopping traffic.
Sure. Are there room for other events in town? I mean, these bring a lot of business to town and really help the small businesses. I mean, I think there could be a bunch of things that people could put on here.
I absolutely agree, and I 100% think that we should be looking at more of those. I'm just not sure who puts those all on.
Right.
You know, we've got some of these different organizations that are either tapped out on volunteer time or simply can't afford the underwriting with some of the expenses.
Right.
I do not believe anyone that has not been part of the planning process of a special event in Boulder City has any idea what kind of time and expense goes into it. You know, it sounds great. We'll just, you know, we'll do our own parade then. Right. Well, you know, good luck, but do you have insurance? Do you have an underwriter for that? Do you have this? Do you have that? Those permit processes, you know, I don't think people really get the kind of money that goes in, the outlay that goes in before the actual fundraising part can start.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would love to see, you know, maybe a lot of events that could come in a division, maybe in the rec department, that helps go after some of those events. You know, right now we're set up so that Roger Hall and his team, they assist organizations putting on events on city streets and city parks. But to have somebody out to physically go out and bring some of those in. I can remember way back 20 years ago when I first got started, I looked back through some of Beth Walker's files and she had notes on the idea of having a city facilitator that helped do that, that we could help promote and help them. And I thought that was a phenomenal concept.
Sure.
And then after 20 years of doing all those events, she was spot on. You know, those are exactly the kinds of things that could be very beneficial to the whole. And I can see there being a potential play for a city position for something that would promote those different events.
Sure.
Like a jazz festival. I will tell you how many people have come to us and say, yo, you should put on a jazz festival. And I'm like, sure. Do you know how much it would be just to gate something like that? And where do you have that?
Right.
You know, maybe there's room for time for a discussion for some kind of a small event center that is like a convention center of some sort that we could then capitalize on bringing corporate events here as well. So they've got breakout rooms and they've got an expo hall, but now we've got a location that we actually have a way to gate, whether it's an outdoor concert, indoor concert, outdoor expo, indoor expo. There's some potential options there.
Sure. That's a great idea as well. So there are a couple of things that are floating around the city now, issues that we're either going to vote on or we have voted on. One of them is the off-road vehicles. You know, I know that was voted down, but there seems to be a lot of proponents for that remaining. You know, I understand a lot of other towns in the Southwest here do allow off-road vehicles on their city streets. Do you think that would bring more tourism to the city?
Well, it would bring more tourism to the city. It's a niche we've never gone after. Right. However, I think that the public, in speaking their mind through the ballot, says to me that there's not enough understanding on how we would control that.
Right.
I can really see some opportunity, if nothing else, whether you have them on the streets or you don't, mm-hmm. An opportunity for us to go out and make sure if there was a group that could control the trails.
Right.
So right now, when somebody calls this office and they say, "Hey, where do I go? I'm coming into town. I've got side by sides, and I just don't know where I can ride." Mm-hmm. There's no map.
No.
There's no trail system. There's nothing that's organized that I can provide them. And so I have to trust that these people are going to believe in Boulder City and the sanctity of our residents, mm-hmm. and making sure that they do it the right way, that they don't violate any of the conservation easement rules, that they want to protect the environment. And so we give them different suggestions on where to go and offload and mm-hmm. trails to take. But it's willy-nilly. It's, okay, you're going to turn left at the fourth cactus and then make sure you go down past the big boulder.
Exactly,
you're going through some sand.
Yeah.
And so as we share that information and there's real no designation, it brings to mind that whether you have them on the roads or not, mm-hmm. we need to devise a trail system that we feel as a group is safe. It keeps people away from the homes.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps people on designated trails. It helps them learn. Talk about history. There's all kinds of opportunities that through that adventure, they can learn about the history out through our mm-hmm. desert areas, an appreciation for our conservation easement, to understand why we have them on these designated trails. We don't want them to break the desert crust. And so those kinds of options to educate people and tell them the safe way and the smart way and the more effective way to use those systems and to appreciate our desert. I think we are currently missing the opportunity there, and I'd love to see something like that. If nothing else, the bare minimum, developing a trail system so that people do it the right way.
Right, sure. So also the pool's up for a vote in next month, and it seems like a lot of people are in favor of it, but there's still some people against it. It seems to be very expensive. It's only half of what they said initially, but I think it's really will help the city. That it can also create events where people will come to Boulder City to see swim meets and things of that nature.
Absolutely. That hometown tourism, that's one of those particular things that, yes, it's meant for our local swim team, but think about the tourism that comes, much like medical tourism and the people that may come here to visit their loved ones in a care center. There's tourism that's tied to that when they find a hotel room and they eat dinner and they buy gas. And so those swim meets are some of that hometown tourism and the opportunity for us to capitalize on potential events. And it's not even just, the idea that, you can have events. And mm-hmm. I don't know that sways the thought process on those who may have some concerns about the pool itself. I think it's the bigger picture is the quality of life.
Right.
So you may not use the library, but when there's a library in a community, it mm-hmm. adds to the educational opportunities. You may not ever use the hospital. And I would hope that maybe somebody doesn't have to, but not having a hospital does impact your community. Maybe not just the quality of life as far as, I'm happy that I have a hospital and it makes me feel better, but looking at your insurance rates,
right?
So knowing you've got a hospital that people can get to, it does impact your insurance rates. It impacts the ratings of your fire department. So there's other underlying factors to why you have some of these different amenities in a community. Having a school does play into bringing in families into a community.
Right.
We can't survive on just one age group alone. We have to have a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of those amenities that, in my opinion, a swimming pool may not be utilized by all of us. However, I think everybody that has any history in Boulder City can give some story about the pool, about having gone there as a kid. I remember it for this.
Right.
I remember seeing that. And, they've got some history, some knowledge of why that pool was important to them mm-hmm. as a child growing up. Or just the simple fact that, if I've got family in town, maybe we can go utilize it.
Right.
I I love the idea that there are so many people in Boulder City that do have their own pools in their own backyard. But having that public pool means it's a spot for everybody.
Right.
It's not just somebody who can afford a pool and its maintenance. Mm-hmm. It is for everyone. And in community type activities like this coming 4th of July, when they do the coin toss,
right.
This is an opportunity for everybody to be a part of that. Not just people who have their own pools and can throw money in their own pool.
Right.
This is for everyone. And so even if you don't choose to take advantage, you have the chance to.
Right,
and I really do believe that making sure that we have a safe pool and a nice pool, an inviting pool,
sure.
Does benefit every generation.
And Boulder City has such a great history of swimmers. You know, the swim team is certainly a state champion many times over, and we've developed some incredible swimmers. In fact, Zane Grothy may be in the Olympics this year. So you know, these are the kind of traditions that Boulder City, and people don't realize that the swim team doesn't swim at our pool. They have to go down to Henderson and swim. You know, I mean,
I know
that's a pretty indicting thing to our current pool.
I think that I like to actually not only think of those kids.
Right.
Obviously, I'm a huge supporter of Zane. He and Lex are very good mm-hmm. friends, and I cannot wait to be able to watch them. But I think that I also look back at the leaders that created those swim teams.
Right.
We've had some magnificent coaches, some very talented coaches, and to know that came from hometown,
sure,
you know,
right.
those were hometown coaches. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of opportunity for people with skill sets here to be able to contribute to the new skills of those growing up. That's stuff that you don't want to lose.
Sure, sure. And of course, I have to mention the gun range. I'm sure that's where your daughter got her start, I would imagine, right?
Actually, I'll tell you, it's not.
No, really?
Not that I don't have a lot of respect for the Boulder City Rifle and Pistol
right.
Club. Spent a lot of time out there as
sure.
a kid and growing up. And she took a beginning safety firearms
sure.
class out there from a wonderful lady that used to be in the business license office, since retired, but her name was Linda Hand, which is mm-hmm. the funniest thing ever. But Linda taught her firearms safety, mm-hmm. and so she, yes, had been out there, but her particular sport is air pistol, and we do not have an air pistol
okay.
range here, so there's some opportunity there too
yeah,
as well,
sure.
but so she didn't start till she got to college.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. So finally, you know, there's been some question about the support of city government for businesses in Boulder City over the years, and I'm not saying just this administration, previous administrations as well. How does the chamber get involved when you know a business comes to you and says, you know, the city's, you know, thrown up roadblocks in front of me?
So one of the key opportunities that the chamber has is to be the connector, the
mm-hmm.
convener, the champion for those businesses. And so how do we look at not only the concerns of the businesses, but also understand that our role is also to make sure that we're supporting City Hall and what they do as well.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of reasons you have those laws and rules in place, and we may not all like them, but,
right.
you know, there's building rules and regulations
right.
to keep us all safe. There are fire inspection reasons that keep us all safe. It's kind of frustrating at times,
mm-hmm.
a lot of extra work, probably a lot more hoops to go through. But in the end, we're all pretty grateful for those things. And so I really liked in your last podcast when Tracy Folda made the statement that there are often times that the city needs to get out of the way and stop trying to, over-regulate
mm-hmm.
the things that happen for the business community.
Right.
I think there's a lot of truth in that, and I would agree with her opinion on that. But I also realize that many of the businesses are completely okay with going along with the system.
Sure.
It's when the system is confusing, when the system is one thing for one person
mm-hmm.
and not for another.
Exactly.
Those kinds of processes need to be corrected. I don't know that necessarily that's any one person, one council, one city manager. I think it's the processes that really need to be dived down to where the real issue is. You may be mad about something and you make this mass statement that City Hall isn't helping. But when you really dive down, where's the real issue? Some of those issues dial down to the process.
Right.
And it makes it very difficult when I think Community Development Director Michael Mays would love for us to have a digital format, a platform, a database,
right.
some type of software that would make it much more simple for the business owner to get their business license, to do their inspections, to do their annual renewals, to know where all of that is within the system, because they can go to one website and look it up. It would save on the phone calls. It would save on the ups and downstairs, mm-hmm. trying to track where your application is in the process. It would allow the business owner to have more control and understanding. And it would also allow the different department heads within the city to have the ability to go, you know what? This is much nicer when I know exactly where this is and I don't have to send this person 14 different places.
Right, yeah.
So I think some of those processes just need to be evaluated, mm-hmm. And stop putting the mass blanket blame on any one thing. And let's look at some of the reasons and the ways that we can fix it. Being solution-based is probably going to be a lot better. And you'll see a lot more businesses that feel like we have a business-friendly environment at City mm-hmm. Hall if we have some of those reasons, the bottom line reasons, fixed, improved upon. And then I think that you would hear a lot more positive things.
Great. Well, Jill, thanks for taking the time to sit down with us. I think you're doing a great job here at the Chamber, keeping the businesses on the straight and narrow and bringing more people into Boulder City, which is what we need. So thanks for the time. Let's make this an annual thing so we get together once a year and catch up.
Sounds fun. I look forward to it.
Hope you enjoyed the Boulder City Podcast, brought to you by Railroad Pass Casino, Boulder City's hometown casino. And don't forget to check out the new Pass Casino in Henderson on Water Street. Special thanks to Boulder City Social for helping to disseminate the episodes. If you know anyone in Boulder City that might be an interesting and informative guest on the podcast, email me at rogergross@comcast.net and we'll try to get them on. Until then, we'll see you next time on the Boulder City Podcast.